I want you to put yourselves in position here, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, even socially. And I want you to prepare for your heart to be able to receive what the Spirit of the Lord wants to say through His Word today. God wants to do more for your life than what you actually desire to do, Him to do for your life. God truly wants to outpour. So I want every man, every woman to be in position to receive from God today. And I want you literally to erase any issues, problems. I want you to put that to the side, because you don't want that to hinder the Word of God going into your heart. So put your concerns, your problems, your issues, setbacks, heartaches, anxieties, all those things that you got going on, because sometimes that's a part of life. You have to put those things to the side. Just say, Father God, say that with me. Father God, speak to me. Speak to my heart, my mind, my soul, my spirit. Father God, let me get something today that changes me from the inside out. Your word is a lamp to my feet and it is a light to my path. And today I'm making a radical change from the inside out. I decree it and I declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Before you're seated, tell three people, I feel something changing in my financial future. Come on, tell them.
He said you have it muted. I don't know what that button is.
Oh, it's good now. It's open now. It's not muted now. It'll probably sound better now. Tell them. Did you tell somebody? Did you tell somebody? What did they say back? What did they say? Did they tell you? You see, I feel a change, a shift in my financial future. You've got to decree it. You've got to declare it. I said that in the opening prayer. You've got to speak it into the atmosphere before it actually comes into being. Before you actually see it, and then you can actually put a grasp to it. You know, Jesus said, let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. And hear me when I say this, no matter what plight you may be in your life, the reality is that there are some people in this church today that are living on the margins. Living on the margins. What does that mean? Right now is tight. Is tight right now. And for some of you, it's been tight for some time. Okay. And for some, it's a part of your condition. Okay. It's a part of just kind of where you are today. To some, you have made some major, colossal mistakes when it comes to finances. And I think one of the great breakthroughs that we have in order to really have a breakthrough is that we've got to take responsibility for what we didn't do right. But for every man, woman sitting in this building this morning, God desires to elevate you financially. Anybody receive that this morning? It's God's desire. It's not God's desire that you would live paycheck to paycheck. No. Because when you live in paycheck to paycheck, you're limited on blessing people. Absolutely, God wants you to take care of yourself, take care of your bills, this, that, and the other. No question. But you're blessed to be a blessing. You want to be a blessing to somebody else. We couldn't be a blessing to anybody else We couldn't have blessed 150 families yesterday if there had not been, watch this, some level of overflow. What I'm saying is that there had to have been finances that are over and above paying the bills. Are y'all with me? Because if not, if we as a church were just struggling to keep the lights on, so then you can't be a blessing to your community. But when you take care of these things right here, then you can focus on being a blessing to the community and to the region and make sure that anybody within the body of Christ, anybody that comes to the church, can certainly, especially right around this time of year, that they can be blessed. Amen? We certainly desire that, and we certainly want that. I'm going to talk about today the covenant of the tithe, because there's an agreement that you come in with. And we've been in this series the last couple of weeks, this I Tithe series, and today is more so what I tithe. Really, the covenant. Say covenant. This agreement that we have with God when we tithe. You all do know that's an agreement with God, right? That's an agreement. It's an agreement with God, not an agreement with man. It's an agreement with God. I want to talk about the covenant and how impactful this covenant is, and how the outflow that we experience comes because of the promises of God, watch this, being under mandate to fulfill themselves. His promises are under mandate to fulfill themselves. I want to give you this Deuteronomy. I make myself laugh often, believe you me. I heard myself say Deuteronomies. All right. Deuteronomy 28, okay? 28 and 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently observe the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Don't you like that, everybody? Not only will they come on you, but they will overtake you. Boy, I like, say overflow. Why? Because you obey the voice of the Lord. If you remember, come on, Pastor Mike, you remember, the theme coming into 2019 was what? The voice. You obey the voice of the Lord your God. Watch this. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. That's your health. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall your be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses. Ooh, I could extend right there. And in all that you set your hand to, he will bless you in the land which your Lord God is giving you. Wait a minute. Wait. Here it is. Here's what Deuteronomy says. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Wait a minute. Lean on somebody and say, something's coming that I don't have right now. That means something is stirring, everybody. He will bless you in the land that he's got planned for you. So what you're experiencing, you're not finished yet. God's not done with you. There's more coming. And so he says, listen, he says, God's so good. He says, I'll prepare you for the blessing that's coming. So sometimes you go through difficulties in life to actually prepare you. Uh-oh, see, come on, Pastor. Oftentimes, God will take you through a difficult season to prepare you for what's coming. Wait a minute. Wait. Why? Because preparation bespeaks humility. Because God really don't want to bless you so good that you don't know how to exercise humility. True humility. that you unequivocally know, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? So that you can exercise when folk are telling you how blessed you look, how favored you look, how comforted you look, how strong you look, how intelligent you are. You receive that and you say, I thank you so much, but God has been so, so good to me. So that you can tell people like you should, I really don't deserve this, but you're not so good that you deserve all of the favor and the blessings that God has bestowed upon you. In spite of us, God does. Somebody say, I'm blessed. I've been teaching you about the tithe. I hope you're grasping this and the importance of the tithe, what the tithe is and the covenant of the tithe. I'm going to go into it here right now. The tithe is a bilateral agreement. Take a picture or download the app, whichever is easier. Don't try to write it down. It's just too much. The tithe is a bilateral agreement of dual responsibility, which states each party will carry out their assigned role. Okay? Both parties, me and God, dual responsibility, a bilateral agreement. Say agreement. What's your role? I'm glad you asked. Your role is 10%. That's your role. We all have a role. You've got a role and God's got a role. Oh, that's good. I've got responsibility. God's got responsibility. I do my part. God's going to do his part. One thing we know is God will fulfill his part of the agreement. We're in an agreement together. We're in a covenant together. I can use my wife and I as an example. Come here, honey. We are in an agreement together. There's a bilateral agreement that my wife and I have, and we both have responsibility. She's got responsibility. I've got responsibility. It's equal. What happens when marriages fail is that somebody fails to hold up their end of what they're responsible for that they made a covenant before God to do. So that's how marriages fail. You fail to live up to your end of the bargain. You will never be able to tell God, I'm giving God. But you are failing to uphold. Am I talking to anybody in this place? You can never tell God you are failing to uphold your end of the bargain. He can't not uphold his end because it's not in his nature. He can't do what he's not been designed to do. He can't lie because lie is not in him. Is that good, anybody? You can't do anything that you've not been programmed to do. Lying happens because it's in the atmosphere, because it's about who you've been around. It's because of what you heard. And so all of a sudden lying, how many of you know lying can jump on you? And my wife say all the time, if you're stretching the truth, you're lying. Ain't no stretching the truth. Stay here for a second, babe. Stay here for a second. Proverbs 3, I want to give you this quick. I want you to stay here, and I'm going to come back to you. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Somebody say, all my increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Ooh. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Speaking of new wine, I had an opportunity to talk about a testimony of one of our men of God who was just promoted on his job from officer to sergeant. It just happened this week. He was here at the blessing yesterday and he had sent me a message about it, and I was just so proud and just thanking God and just so excited about it. But then we got a man of God here today. He just shared with me. Matter of fact, DLJ, stand to your feet. DLJ, you've been on your feet a lot today. Come on now. DLJ just shared with me just yesterday. Was that yesterday, DLJ? Just shared with me yesterday. He works odd hours at his job and works in Pittsburgh, and he's away a lot, away from his wife a lot, just because of the obligations to the job and this, that, and the other. And he's been faithful to his job. He's been faithful in his giving. He trusts God. He loves God. He's had a number of Sundays he's not been able to be here. Usually every other Sunday he has to be away. So wouldn't you know it, he comes to me and he tells me yesterday, he says, Pastor, there's been a change. Something happened on my job. Wait. Something happened on my job, Pastor. They actually created a position. Is this what happened? They actually created a position that did not exist. Now you're able to choose. Now you're in what position now?
I'm still a team lead, but supervisor team lead.
You're a supervisor, and you can choose your hours.
Yes.
Somebody go crazy for the goodness and the faithfulness of God. The person that got a supervisor tomorrow, you walk to your job tomorrow, you talk to your supervisor, you say, I'm under a mandate from God that you allow me to choose my hours. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Now, don't you do that. You'll be choosing them, but you won't like the hours that you're choosing. Don't you do that. Ain't God good, everybody? I'm sharing with you just small stuff that's happening, y'all, because I talked about from the beginning of the series that things would begin to happen immediately, that there would not be a delay, that when you spoke it into the atmosphere, that I was under mandate and agreement with God, that God would tell me, Locke, within the body of Christ at Liberty, I'm about to show my favor. I'm about to open some doors that have been closed. I'm about to put them in a superfluous overflow mode. Why? To prove myself. And usually you have to prove yourself when the room may have a doubter or two. And there is absolutely feel no shame, only conviction. I don't condemn. There's no condemnation for those of us who love Christ Jesus, okay? So we don't condemn, but allow a spirit of conviction to come on you if it is you. 70% of the room, don't tithe. 70%. 7 out of 10, don't tithe, okay? Now, that's between you and God, but my job is to teach the word unequivocally, biblically. I'm not up here giving you my opinion. I'm telling you what the word says, and I'm telling you that the word works. Y'all gonna make me run around this church right now. I said the word. Does anybody in this church know that the word works? It works. Amen. Give it this other portion of the covenant of the tithe. You'll see it up there. It says it. The tithe, the covenant, it presupposes two or more parties who come together to make a binding contract, agreeing on, these four things are very important. Watch this. Promises. This is what the covenant does. Okay? So the covenant of the tithe, we agree on promises. Just like within our marriage, we agree on promises. So we made a promise, right? Those of you that married, didn't you make a promise? You made a promise. You made a promise before God, before all those in attendance, right? The next one is stipulations, right? Same thing with the tithe. It's stipulations. There's stuff that you can and that you cannot do. Marriage is the same way, okay? There's stuff that you can do. There's something that you can't do. Same thing with the tithe. There's stuff that you can that you cannot do. And what you cannot do, and it's going to sound repetitive, but it's worth mentioning again, is you cannot be sloppy with the 90. Because you can tithe and still be in a financial quagmire and be tithing and trying to figure that out. That's because you're not properly stewarding 90. Got a little bit quiet right there. That's all right. But you have a responsibility. It's not just God and you just walk away and do whatever you want with your money. It's not. It's like, well, I paid my tithe. Why I still got all kinds of just foolish stuff happening with my finances? Well, are you properly stewarding the 90? Have you overextended yourself in any manner? Are you buying stuff that you don't need? Do you have to eat out? Somebody tell me, take my time. Take my time. Is this good, everybody? You don't have to eat out all the time. You don't have to have Starbucks. You don't have, no, that's a want. You want to do that. You don't have to go out. You don't have to buy those shoes. That was my mother right there. Okay. You don't say this. Pastor, that dress, you don't have to buy that suit. Well, Pastor, because I've heard people say this. Pastor, it was 50% off. And I was saying, if this thing go on sale, that I was going to buy it, and I know that will be God saying that he want me to have it. Stop that. God ain't said that. No, that's you. That's you. I got a newsflash for you. God really doesn't. God don't care whether you buy that dress or not. I think I'm helping at least two or three of y'all right now. Two or three women got their eye on the dress and said, forget it. I ain't gonna get it. All right. But don't overextend yourself. Can I talk practically just for a moment? Don't overextend yourself. Don't do more than what you have capability of doing. Okay? Stop trying to keep up with people. I told you, half of Instagram is phony. Most people posing with that stuff, it ain't even theirs. It's not even there. It's Facebook and all that other stuff. Don't try to compete with people and all of that. Because we live in a show me world. You know, it's all about what you got and where you live and what you drive. I know I've talked about some of these things before, but it's just so important for you to know so that you can properly process what you need. Amen? Absolutely look your very, very, very best. Very best. But how many of you all know you can look real good and not spend a whole lot of money? I got any folk in here like that can put together a $32 outfit? I got anybody like that? Come on, show enough. They be like, girl, that's cold. Yeah, it is, ain't it? Yeah, it is. Yeah. I ain't going to tell you where I got it, but I know it is. Privileges, we got privileges. So even as a married couple, right, we got privileges. Don't we got privileges, babe? We do. We got privileges, don't we? Amen. We got privileges. That's what married couples are. Same thing. Okay, watch this. The tither has privileges. Ooh, the tither has privileges. When the Lord said, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive, guess what? That's for the tither. It's for those who are giving and who are faithful to the Lord. And of course, you have responsibilities. You have responsibilities that you must be faithful to and with. Amen. 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 Boy, this thing is acting up. You ready to sit down, honey? Huh? Are you released? Go to Haggai 6. Fix that. See, that's why I like my old notebook. That's why I like my old raggedy paper notebook, because I can just flip the pages. And then when I try to go high tech, then it gets stuck. Come on, y'all. That's exactly why. Haggai 6. I'm going back to my notebook. Is it moving now? I'm like a little kid, ain't I? I'm going back to my notebook next week. Okay, why is it? Okay, all right. Haggai 6:16. Oh, I'm sorry, that's Hebrews. I apologize. Hey, bro, thank you so much. Thank you. Because we're talking about God. Thank you, babe. Yeah. I'm sorry. I got you up here. All right. So Hebrews 6 right there. when it talks about, now when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. Say binding. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. This is good, everybody, because remember, I'm talking about this covenant that we are in with God. And he says, I'm bound by the oath that I make. I will not change my mind. So listen, so God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. The hope is strong and trustworthy, anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. And so because God is a God that cannot lie, he must fulfill his promises in the earth. And so DLJ, come here real quick. I know I've been using you just a little bit. But even DLJ, as I was talking about him here earlier, is that what DLJ did both in the heavens and the earth, because he and I literally have been talking about the fact that he had to work every other Sunday and be away from his wife for multiple days at a time because he got a great job, but it caused him to be away from her for multiple days at a time. And because of the stresses of that and the anxieties that come with that, he really began to seek God, that God would open up a door, watch this, that did not currently exist. When you are a believer of the Most High Jesus Christ, you can begin to speak things in the earth that do not exist. But because you are in covenant with God, God can fulfill what you have spoken in the earth. See, somebody need to know that God is designing a victorious moment just for you. Just for you. So what God did for you is he exposed you to what he was already working on in the heavens. So what he's experiencing now had already been written in the heavens. But let it be on earth as it has been written. And when you're a man of God, such as DLJ, and you're praying and you're decreeing and you're sowing and you're expecting, so then you get to a season like he just walked through, that window in heaven that God had actually opened up for him, that now he's starting to see the manifestation of what was. I'm trying to encourage somebody. The manifestation is coming. It just hasn't completely involved itself yet. So it's not like you missed anything. No. It's on its way. It's coming. Thank you, man of God. Just got another testimony. See, because I realized that people need testimonies oftentimes to encourage them. Talking to a spiritual daughter after church this morning, Brianna. Brianna was up there singing just a minute ago. She comes to me, she says, Pastor, at one time I was tithing. I stopped tithing for 6 months. You know, I'm about to get married to my husband. Went to my family about getting the wedding paid for. Family said they really don't have the money to help out with the wedding, this, that, and the other. So you're kind of on your own. Brianna said, you know what? She said, I started tithing again. Just started believing in God just two weeks ago. She started tithing again. She said her mother came to her just recently and said, you know what? Your father received an unexpected bonus. Come on now. Come on. Stop. Come on now. I can't make this stuff up. Your father received an unexpected bonus. We going to pay for the wedding. Come on now. See, come. So you trying to tell me that that's it directly? Absolutely I am. Absolutely I am. Absolutely. I got a text message this morning. Oh, man, I got so many testimonies. He got a text message this morning, like 5-something in the morning. It was my son. I think he's back. He was in Spain for a little bit. I think he's back in town now. Got a text message this morning from my son. He said, Dad, he was texting me and his mom. He said, Dad, he said, you know what? I just got the approval. Just got approved to receive his MBA at Cornell. Just happened. Why am I telling you that? Because that's equated to the blessing and the favor of God that is upon my seed. Somebody just needs to claim blessings and favor on your seeds right now. Bless, Mom Diane, just claim blessings and favor on every child over Tracy, over Bill, over Cherise. Just claim blessings and favor over them right now. You need to claim blessings and favor over Noah because you're a tither, because you sow into the kingdom of God. There's favor on his life. There's open. You got to claim that over Myron and Alyssa. You got to decree that. You got to believe that. Even before they get to the age where they begin to tithe. But even where they are right now, that they will begin to tithe young. That they will begin to give young. Why? So that favor. It's a two-finger iPad? What in the world? Y'all see my face up here, man. This technology, my Lord. All right. When I tithe, y'all getting something good this morning? You getting something? When I tithe, I relinquish ownership and enforce rulership and government of my finances to God. It's a note for you. It was Winston Churchill who said, we make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. You cannot receive what you refuse to give. Outflow determines inflow. I want to talk to you real quick about the power of piles. The power of piles. Piles. These beams in the earth. Watch this. Piles establish the foundation. They are concrete or steel columns hammered into the earth until they penetrate solid rock. Some go as deep as 25 stories below the surface to stabilize buildings such as skyscrapers. So in places like L.A. and New York, Chicago, other big cities, you see these big skyscrapers. What we see is we see the elegance and the beauty of the skyscraper. What we don't see is the piles. The piles are dug deep into the earth, some 25 stories below the earth, and they do that to maintain, watch this, the integrity of the building. So we see something on the exterior that looks beautiful and that looks sturdy. But what we don't see are the piles underneath the ground. What we don't see is what is keeping the building stable. Oh, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. That's why sometimes people trip about your state of being and state of mind when it seems like all hell has broken loose in your life. And yet you seem to be cool as a cucumber because they don't understand the piles that you have planted in the ground. Now, I'm talking about Jesus. Say Jesus. That you're rooted in God. They don't see that. They just see the exterior. Anybody rooted in this place? Rooted in the word of God. Rooted in the blood. Rooted in the mercy. Rooted in the kindness of who God is. Those piles that are in the earth. But watch this, everybody. But if those piles are incorrectly placed into the earth, they'll crack. And watch this. If they crack, it'll cause the whole building, watch this, to lean. And what happens is there are a number of people in this church today. In your finances, you're leaning. And when you lean, usually it's just a matter of time. So what you got to do is you got to check your foundation. You got to make sure that you're rooted in the right things. You got to make sure that you're rooted in the word and the biblical precepts of what God has sent into the earth when it comes to money. And God cares about money so much, he chose to talk about it more than heaven and hell combined. That's how much he cares about your financial well-being. Not getting by. God wants your household blessed, regardless of the family that you came from. Because some of you came from literally families where finances just were not good. They were not talked about, and everything was like just getting by. Pay half the gas bill, half the light bill, half the rent. Just trying, it's always playing catch up. That brings anxieties that you don't want to have in your life. So somebody within the bloodline has to be the one that's going to break. Somebody's got to break this continuous place of not having enough. Somebody's got to break it. Lean on somebody and say, I'm going to break it. Somebody's got to break it. Timothy spoke a word to those who are financially stable, and you're represented in the room. Timothy said this. He said, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up treasure. They'll be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. How generous are you? How generous are you? Are you generous? You need to answer that in turn. Are you generous? Are you really, especially those of you that are doing okay? Some of you in the room are doing okay. How generous are you? You still loaning money? Or you just give it? Do you really need the $20 back? I know I'm helping somebody. Do you really need that back? You blessed. You okay. That $20 is not going to set you back. Let them go. You're not going to call them back because they owe you money? You mad at them because they owe you money? You talking about it on Facebook because they owe you $25? And you make 40 grand a year. If you need $25, you're doing something wrong with your money. You're overextended. Am I helping somebody, honey? I'm telling you. You don't want to be hunting people down. You don't want to be chasing folk that owe you money. You don't want to see people and get mad because they got on something new and they still owe you money. Come on now. You don't want to walk in a restaurant with somebody that owe you $50. You're like, how you eating? How you eating? No, you need to buy my meal. Is that my 50? Like, for real, like, we got to, come on, believers of God, saints, those of you, I'm talking to those of you that are doing okay. I didn't say you're rich, you're doing okay. You got to let people go, and you have to exercise the generosity, and you just got to walk away. So I made a point a long time ago. I said, I'm not letting people borrow money because they'll have power. I can't get nobody power over me. Like, I just got to let it go. Just walk away from it. Listen, God bless you. And just keep it moving. Am I helping anybody? Now, don't ask me for the money afterwards, after church. Now, I didn't say that. I'm just messing with you. I'm just messing. Are we generous? Are we a generous church? I hope we are a generous church. I hope we're a generous church outside of just yesterday. I hope it's bigger than that. I hope that we don't have to have events to show our generosity. I hope that you individually are generous in your daily life. I hope so. I had a beautiful thing told to me by Elvis. Elvis, raise your hand, Elvis. Elvis was just in Ghana. Elvis is from Ghana. He's from Ghana, from Africa. Went over there to actually get the blessing from his family to marry his fiance. He went to Ghana. 9-hour flight out of Virginia, he said, to get the blessing from his family. And so he got that. But he told me he was watching the message last Sunday in Africa. I said, man, they watching me in Africa, man? What in the world? Like, no, I'm watching you in Africa. Nobody else. He didn't say that, but I was thinking that, like, hey, he's probably the only one to watch it, you know. But him and his mom were watching the service last Sunday. And so when I said about blessing people and just being a blessing and going into this week, Elvis told me, he said he went out into the area in the community and he started blessing kids. Right then, at that moment, to God be the glory, man. I'm so proud of you. Ooh, I need to finish. Matthew 13, verse 1. Let's finish with that. The parable of the sower. On the same day, Jesus went out to the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him. So they got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed. Some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they didn't have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground, say good ground, and yielded or produced a crop. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. We'll go right to verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower when Jesus gives the explanation. He says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Hear me. Hear this. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. So he who received by the wayside, the seed comes to them, the word comes to them. Watch this. It comes to them, but they don't understand it. They don't take the time to understand it. So even what I'm ministering today, those of you who have slight understanding but don't really get the full picture, you've got to put prayer to what I'm talking about. You've got to discipline yourself to understand it in a full capacity, or like Jesus said, it'll be snatched away. Just that quick. You'll leave here and it'll be gone just like that. You'll leave here in a situation to hit. You'll leave here today and you say, okay, Pastor, I'm a tithe. I'm going to try God. I'm going to do this 10%. And then you leave here, and then something will happen in your life. And just that quickly, you went from a moment saying, well, I'm going to give, I'm going to tithe, to a situation hitting, and all of a sudden that situation takes full precedent. And oftentimes, I just know God, how God works. I'm going to celebrate 20 years saved next month. 20 years saved in December. December 1999. And in 20 years, I have seen God do things like that. So you'll make a decision just like I'm giving. You'll make a decision, say, okay, I'm going to tithe. I'm going to give to God, this, that, and the other. And then you'll leave it in a situation to hit. And the thing about it is that I'm not saying that God brought the situation, but God will use that to test your faith. Okay, let's just talk practical. For those of us who give tithe, et cetera, it's fairly not challenging to give and to tithe when everything is paid. Is that a revelation or no? No, that's not a revelation, right? But you've got to work out faith. You've got to work faith when you need God to just move in a peculiar manner, just so that he can, you know, God, I just need you to do this, and I need you to do that, and it's not exactly what I need it to be, but I'm trusting you. Believe you, hear me, I'd rather you tithe before the savings account. Oh, man, it's good. It's good. It's good. Tithe before, I'm telling you stuff that we have done. And we have watched God do things that we could not imagine he would do. And you have no minimal number to give. No minimal number. Whatever it is the Lord has blessed you with, I just read to you, probably said, you tithe off the first fruits of all your increase. Whatever's coming into your household is increase. Anything, even if you work. Right? Even if you were, it's still increase. Amen, everybody? All right. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself. That's very important. but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. That's big. Man, the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So he gives, she gives, but they become unfruitful because the deceitfulness of riches, meaning your membrane and why and your motive just gets off. And that can happen even with folk who give. But he who receives seed on the good ground, say good ground, is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So you got four particular seeds that Jesus talks about, and I want to break them down right here. Number one is the wayside seed. Wayside seed. And I draw a parallel with this particular seed to Proverbs 3 and 5 and 6. What says? What? Trust in the Lord, right? With all thy heart. And lean not what? Unto our own understanding. So you cannot put your practical knowledge on God's word. Okay? Your practical knowledge. Because practical does not equate to supernatural. This is just supernatural stuff. So when we're talking about sowing into the kingdom of God, this is just supernatural stuff that God begins to do. You just can't add this stuff up. It's not 1 + 1 = 2. I know you can go to the checkbook, and you all should. We all should balance your checkbook and after all those things, or balance your QuickBooks, whatever it is that you use, no question. But you will not be able to add up the blessings and the favor of God. Amen? Somebody say, God is faithful. I need you to get educated in your finances. A small helpmate. Oh, I shouldn't say small. It's actually a big helpmate is Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey, I believe it's called the Total Money Makeover. There it is right there, the Total Money Makeover. Just something that you could use, everybody, that would just help you when it comes to the practicalities of handling finances. Okay, Dave is strict. He real strict. Real, real strict. But it will help you in a big, big way. I love this particular quote that he says. He says, don't even try to keep up with the Joneses. They broke. That's good stuff right there. Good stuff. Good stuff. Number two, stony seed. Stony seed. Jesus talked about stony seed. Stony seed. The stony seed is where it's piles. Okay? It's piles. You have to have piles. You don't have any piles in the ground. That's what he's talking about. You don't have any foundation in the ground. Number three was the thorn seed. Although he sows, he becomes unfruitful due to the lure of riches. Okay? Because so you're sowing with bad motives. You sow them, well, you know, I'm a sow because I want this to happen. I want this to happen. I want all this faith. And it's all about you. Okay? So your motive is off. The Lord talked about them through the prophet Haggai in Haggai 1 and 6. It says, the Lord sent this message through the prophet Haggai. Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? This is what the Lord of Heaven Army says. Look at what's happening to you. Watch this. You have planted much, but you harvest little. You eat, but you're not satisfied. You drink, but you're still not thirsty. You're still thirsty. You put on clothes, but can't keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. Anybody ever been in a space at a time in life where you just wondering, where, like, where's all this money going? Am I talking to the right? Has it ever happened to you? You just wonder, like, what? Like, where's all this money? Like, where am I spending? Like, didn't I just have? You don't want to be, hear me. I got to do, I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. I got to do both of you. I want to give you the word, and then I want to just speak to you from my heart. But you want to, and God will help you. You want to grow past the place where there's anxieties for the next payday to come. So that you get paid, and then all of a sudden within 24 hours it's gone. And then you got these anxieties for the next payday to come up in 12, 13, or however it is that you get compensated. Maybe it's weekly. You want to get past those types of anxieties because that's living under pressure. Boy, I hope I'm helping somebody today. The last one is righteous seed. Number four is righteous seed. You see it up there on the screen. That's just that excellent seed. Say excellent seed. This is excellent seed. This righteous seed. This is when I sow. It's a bilateral agreement, which is where I began the service. This is where we talk about it's not only the earth. I'm talking about the earth as in the soil that you sow into. It's not only the earth. It's also your attitude. That righteous seed is that I'm sowing into the ground and I'm believing God. I'm believing God. I don't have any doubts whatsoever that God is going to do what he promised he is going to do. I believe God that there's going to be, watch this, outflow and opportunities that will come before me that certainly will take care of my family, but will also allow me to be a blessing to people who need me to be a blessing. How many of you in here just want to be a blessing to somebody? I think you have to have the purity of heart to go before the Lord and say, with this that you would do for me, Lord God, I will not only govern it properly, but I will be a steward and I will be a blessing not only in my household, but to those around me. Amen. Galatians 6 and 7, you've heard this before. Some of you have. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Every seed carries an identity. Every seed that you sow, every seed that you sow, it carries an identity. And every seed that I've sown and my wife and I've sown, and those of you that sow and give and tithe, you're the same way. Every seed that I've sown, it carries an identity. And when I put it in the earth, God remembers. Hear me, everybody. God remembers every seed. There's not a seed that you have sown that God has forgotten about. No matter how difficult, no matter how challenging it is to sow. And there's no question, throughout the earth, money is one of the most challenging areas to talk about in church. Now, I'm courageous to talk about it. I am. Because I've experienced God just doing supernatural stuff. Not only in my life, but then I have the privilege to hear y'all testimonies and what God is doing in you all's life. And to God be the glory. That's why I give you the DLJs, the Briannas, the Elvis, the Court this morning, and all the other testimonies. So when I hear them, I want to share them. Because what? We overcome what? By the blood of the Lamb and the what? And the word of our what? Of our testimony. So you have to have testimonies so that you can be assured that the word of God works. Somebody say the word works. The seed is under a mandate to give back more than the value it carries. It's under a mandate. I'm going to finish here. It's under a mandate. You got cash on you, Pastor Mike? Got no cash on you, man. DLJ, you got cash on you? What in the? What's going? Joe, you got cash on you? Come on up here, Mark. I want to show you something. Thank you, parents. Thank you, parents, for getting your babies right now. Go ahead. Okay. So watch this. So the seed is under a mandate. Y'all with me? The seed is under a mandate to give back. Watch this. More. Okay? Luke 6:38, right? Given it shall be given to you. What? Shaking together? Running over? For with the same measure that you, it shall be what? It's under a mandate. You sow it, it's under a mandate. From who? From God. So I've got, this is where holding the microphone kind of hurts you. All right. Okay. So I got just what was in my pocket. About $19, $20. So you got more. You got a little more? Go ahead. Yeah. So what I'm going to do, you ain't got it yet. You got a little bit more than what I got? A little bit. Okay. So watch this. So here's how God works, both in the natural and in the spirit. What? So I give by faith. Anytime I give by faith. I'm 48 years old, married 17 years, got responsibilities, the whole nine. I give by faith. I don't just give. I give by faith. So watch this. I give by faith. This is what I do. I sow into the kingdom of God, and I'm believing God. I wrap God's word around my seed. Every promise and precept in this word of God, I wrap it around that seed. And God, because he's faithful and favorable, watch this, God finds ways and looks for ways. Is anybody getting this morning? He looks for ways to not only give me back what I gave, but also to go exceedingly and abundantly. Come on. He didn't want to go exceedingly and abundantly, did he? He said, yeah, that's the whole exercise. The whole exercise is that you would give me what you had. That was what. But watch this. But when God, so what happens? Hold this, Mark. So when God blesses me, watch this. So he just gave me back more than what I gave him. Right? So God supernaturally added to me what I did not have. But what this gives me the opportunity to do is to now give more. So what I gave him initially, I can now give more because I have more. And so whatever it is that I gave him, so I gave him like, I don't know, $19 or something like that. I think the first. So now I just grabbed 40. So now I can give you that. And so now I'm sowing this. And so I still got this. I just gave God more than what I initially gave him because he gave me back. And so what God does is God not only, and we're just talking practical finance. So then what God does is not only give me this 40, but he finds somewhere else. And it doesn't always manifest in money. Don't get stuck, everybody. Don't get stuck. Oftentimes it's our health. It's our well-being. It's your family. It's your kids. Come on, everybody. It's your life. It's your mindset. It's your intelligence. Somebody give God some praise in this place. Bless God. Bless God. You going to find a way to give mine back, or you going to? No. You can have it. God bless you. God bless you. To him that has, more shall be given unto him. This is how the word works. To him that has. Now, here's what's something, you all, and it's such, what I just did was such a God example. Here's why. Because, and I didn't know this because we were just in the moment. So I had less in my hand than Mark did. I had less than, now it was still something. I gave him what I had. He then gave me what was in his hand. I, in turn, gave him everything I had, even though I had less than he did. Are we getting that, everybody? Come on and stand to your feet all over the building. Will, it's so good to see you back there. I see you home from Kentucky. God bless you. To some of our folk that have been relocated as far as GM is concerned, but it's so good to see you home. I want you to be open and honest here as I do this altar call here this morning. And team, you can go up right now. just prepare yourselves for, eventually we'll go into the latter portion of service, but if you're under pressure right now financially, come to the altar. Run to the altar right now. You're under pressure. You're under pressure. Saying, Pastor, I'm just under pressure. I'm just under pressure. Just under pressure. Say, Pastor, I'm just under pressure right now. I'm in that moment. I'm in that place. There's some strain going on. I can feel that. Some of those pressures have brought different anxieties and different levels of concern and worry. Honey, come on and join me. Father, I just thank you for the courage. Those of you standing before me, just lift your hands, because it takes tremendous courage to just say, you know what, that's just where I am. Father, I just thank you for the courage of these sons and these daughters that have walked up to the altar and just said that they're in a place right now where there is significant pressure in their lives financially, Lord God. Father God, I just pray for your pure and crystal clear revelation to even fall upon them right now. Father God, first and foremost, the covenant of salvation is the most important covenant on the earth, Lord God. And I pray that each and every one of them are in a place with you, Lord God, where they are in relationship and fellowship with you by covenant of salvation. And Father God, within that covenant, begin to speak to them and begin to reveal to them, Lord God, the steps, Lord God, for the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Father God, I just pray right now supernaturally that you begin to release pressures right now. They will begin to rest in your will and your word right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we pray right now that the heavens, that the angels above, Lord God, that we know by the via your Holy Spirit authority and your power are residing within this space, Lord God. But I just pray right now a release in Jesus' name, a release of peace, a release of comfort, break anxieties and break pressures of the earth and of the world right now in the name of Jesus. And those who are standing up here and who have been in families where there have been generational curses when it comes to finances, I break those curses right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We just break every curse of poverty, every curse of brokenness, every curse of lack, every curse of not having enough. And we just speak blessings and favor and abundance now. I need the church to agree with me right now. In the name of Jesus. Jesus.
Thank you, Father. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for insight and wisdom on how to manage and handle their money. Give them wisdom. Give them revelation. Open doors for them, Father. I pray in the name of Jesus where they are seeking you and they need insight on how to steward their money, to how to steward the 90. Father, I pray that you would give them a revelation. I pray for understanding and knowledge to come to them in the name of Jesus. Father, I just thank you that you are pouring out fresh manna on us in this season, in this hour, on how to steward our money. You want to get us prepared for what is coming. And so you are releasing word and revelation in this season now. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, give us the anointing like the sons of Issachar, that we understand the season that we live, that you want us to come up, to break through every barrier, everything that's stopping the flow of finances in our lives, that's stopping the flow of revelation in our lives. Father, I pray breakthrough right now in the name of Jesus. Let breakthrough come to us. Breakthrough. We say breakthrough in the realm of the spirit. Breakthrough. The money is coming now. Release is now. Release. Release in the name of Jesus. We pray release. No more holes in your pockets. No more lack. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Pour it. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we your people who are called by your name, Father. Father, we stand in awe of your presence and of your word, Father. And even as your word has gone forth this moment, Father, in this hour, Father, Father, we take it deep within our hearts and in our minds, Father, that we might stand on it. Father, that we might see the glory of your word is revealed in us, Father. Father, to everyone under the sound of our voice, Father, Father, we take heart, Father, to receive your word, Father, and to try you now in this and see that you are indeed a promise keeper, that you are the faithful one, that you are the Holy One of Israel, and there's never been a trial or any type of impossible mountain that you cannot subdue, that you cannot overcome. But Father, give us the courage and the heart to believe and to stand on your word, Father. Even those who did not come forth, Father, Father, give us the heart to stand on your word, Father. Give us a heart to do in accordance to your word, Father. Father, give us this courage, Father. Father, that we might see, Father, that which you have spoken come into fruition in each and every one of our lives, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, even now, Father, we rebuke the devourer, Father, in the name of Jesus, for we are the sons and the daughters of the Most High, Father, that even as we go and we do according to your word, Lord, Father, that you by your spirit, your power, and your anointing, Father, Father, reveal your glory. Reveal your glory. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, for I know there are many here, Father, who say, Lord, I want to do it, but Hashem. Lord, I want to do it, but Lord, I want to do it, but Father, I come against that spirit right now. In the name of Jesus, that spirit that would hinder your people, Father, who will see the circumstance over the power of the Most High God. Father, give them the sight to see only you, Father, that you are bigger than our circumstance. You are bigger than our trials, our tribulations, our affliction, Father. You are the sovereign one and you are the Holy One. You are El Shaddai, the Almighty God, and it doesn't matter what our current circumstance is. It does not matter what our trials are. Father, that as we go and as we do in accordance to your word, Father, that you will indeed do what it is that you have promised us. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, do it for your glory. Do it for your glory, Father. Do it for your great and mighty name, Father, and do it for your people, Father, for the truth is in the telling, Father, that even as they do according to the covenant that is preached, Father, that you will also do, and Father, they will declare your goodness and your mercies and your glory, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, be courageous. Step out on the water. You won't fail. You won't drown. It's your faith that activates, God. It's your faith that moves, God. Hasha, in the name of Jesus Christ, God wants to do it for you. He wants to move on your behalf. He wants to move that mountain. He wants to break that spirit of poverty over your lives. He desires to do this. Asha. But even as pastors preach, we have a responsibility. And that big responsibility is our faith. Our faith to believe. For he is indeed able. Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's celebrate, everybody. Let's celebrate by the clapping of our hands. Go to that song. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. Come on, somebody celebrate God in this place right now. Come on, somebody celebrate God. Remember, your seed, you seed where you feed. Many of you are on the verge of breakthrough in a number of areas in your life. I can feel that even as I was praying for you. What I want you to do is I want you to bring a celebratory seed. Place it on the altar here as we celebrate, here as I get ready to speak the blessing and close. As the Lord guides you, as the Lord speaks to you, whatever it is the Lord that speaks to you to sow, bring it and sow it with expectation and sow it with joy. Sow it with joy. Remember, your attitude and the earth, your attitude, how you sow it, the earth is going to do its job. It's going to give back. But your attitude and how you bring it, the spirit and the fervency about what you bring it, will determine that inflow into your life. Text give as well. You can text to give. I know we live in a technological world. So guys, go ahead and put up the text to give number as well. Thank you so much. There's that number. Again, as the Lord directs you, the Lord speaks to you. Thank you so much. Love seeing the kids bringing up the seeds. Amen. 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 Yes, Lord. This is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to get the kingdom working financially on your behalf. That's what that is. It's an opportunity.
I'm free indeed. In Christ, I'm free indeed. No chains are holding me. It's who I choose to be.
Every seed sown into this fertile ground, and I just pray a 30, 60, 100-fold return in multiples. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Let me speak the blessing over you. Lift your hands all over the building. My wife and I are going to greet everybody over here to my left right after church. Listen, we love you all so, so much. We appreciate you. We honor you here this day. Believe in God for supernatural occurrences happening in your life, the realm of your finances. May the Lord keep you, strengthen you. We bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name in all the earth. We bless you coming and we bless you going. We bless all that you put your hands to that is God intended for your purpose. That's the key. We bless this season in your life. Somebody say, it's my best season. We bless you emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, socially, and certainly financially. I tell you each and every week, our Jesus has given us one amazing life to live. All we can do is live it the very best that we can. Along the way, we're going to be excited, energetic, and full of life. So much so that we do what? Can you hug on somebody before you leave here? Give somebody a high five. Give them a hug. Give them $5. Do something. God bless you. We love you.